Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and talented co-host, Tony Boucher. She is running just a little bit late today, but she will be here. We have a great show lined up for you. Our guest this week is an amazing individual who just graduated from the University of Washington, and she has a great story. She's doing wonderful things in the golf world and soon to be doing wonderful things in the community. And we'll get to her in just a little bit. But before we do that, let's get you caught up on the past week, the past weekend that was for us. For me, I spent a lot of time this past week in Springfield, Missouri. And it's an annual trip that I've gone on. I didn't go last year, I made up for it tenfold this year, and I got to tell you, it was such an incredible experience. The Stars for Autism crew did an amazing job of hosting me and making me feel very special. You know, it's kind of like my Mayberry, and you know, I know we all get a chuckle out of that when I mention that to them, but it's a very peaceful place, and the ladies and all the advocates there are doing a wonderful job for kids on the autism spectrum, for kids with other disabilities. And I had a chance to meet a lot of wonderful people. I got to visit the Bass Pro Aquarium, which is amazing. One of the highlights for me. The place is just, you know, I was just overwhelmed. The place is so big, so huge. Got to see a lot of good things in there. I got to attend the autism training that the Stars for Autism crew put on. It was fantastic. And I'm not sure if I posted video. I did take a little bit of video of some of the sessions that took place there. And if it's not up, I'll double check. I'll check again. But if it's not up, I'll put it up maybe later this afternoon. But very insightful. The ladies have different perspectives on, you know, autism. Everybody has a unique voice in their group, which I found incredible. I got to visit the Infinity Academy that my wonderful friend Dr. Brenda Bradshaw created. I got to tour that facility, and it was amazing. Everything in there, the classrooms, the outdoor the scenery there was pretty good. So I don't know what else to say. I got to be interviewed by some kids that were on the spectrum, and that was another highlight for me to kind of sit in there and listen to them ask questions and, you know, listen to me, you know, talk about how special they made me feel by taking the time to come out and spend a little time with me. That was awesome. I was able to give a speech also after the training. And, you know, when I normally get up to speak, it can be very nerve-wracking to me in the very beginning, because I have what I want to say in mind. But as I start walking up to the front, everything kind of goes blank. And so I kind of ad-lib. And basically, you know, I just say a lot of things that I've always wanted to say, but I feel like it comes more from my heart than it does from something that I write down or I try to script in my head. So I was able to reach a lot of folks, and the weather was marvelous. So I'm looking forward to being back next year. My goal in all of this is to, at some point, create this autism summit where, you know, we as advocates can all come together and we can, you know, kick ideas off of each other. And we don't have to agree on everything. I think that's one of the most important things to me, is that we don't all have to agree, but there's always a middle and common ground that we can find. So I'm still in the very early stages of working on that. And I know I've said this before, I've been working on this thing for a couple of years now, but I hope to be able to put it together very soon. Next year, I would love to maybe host a little golf clinic for the kids and have them come out and hit golf balls. You know, I think it's very important that we continue to empower the kids that are on the spectrum. I think sometimes we tend to lose sight of that, and you know, we also tend to lose sight of the parents who are doing a marvelous job in all of this. You know, we focus so much on the kids, rightfully so, but you know, the parents are putting in a lot of work, and essentially, they're not able to do the things that they once did or could continue to do in their lives because of the around-the-clock care for their child. So, let's continue to get out and advocate. And if you're interested, I would definitely recommend you visit starsforautism.org. They're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Definitely try to get involved in your community. It means a lot to not only us as advocates, but it means a lot to the kids and to the parents that are involved. So that was my trip. Now that I'm back home, it's back to the basics. I'm trying to get caught up on emails and paperwork. The Team Winfrey charity event, my charity event that's coming up in August. I'm getting prepared for that. And registration will begin July 1st. So be on the lookout for that post on Facebook and across all social media platforms. We hope to work with other families this summer. I am in pursuit of that as well. And I hope to give you more updates on families that we are currently working with. I hope to spend a lot of time this summer with Michael Lacoste on the driving range and kind of picking his brain on what's next for him and his dreams and goals. As you know, Michael's on the autism spectrum, and he's one of the amazing kids that I mentor. And I'm excited about interacting with him. Elvin Gladney is another individual that I mentor. I'm looking forward to playing a practice round with Elvin on July 18th. We kind of talked about that before I left last week, so I'm excited about that. All in all, you know, things are back to normal pretty much. I didn't want to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Today is my birthday. I'm not doing anything special today. I'm gonna lay low. That's my MO. So I appreciate all the shout outs on Facebook. I will respond at some point in the day to those, but I am blessed to be here another year and enjoying my life and doing what I do and trying to make people smile. So thank you for the shout outs. Now on to the show today. Our guest really needs no introduction, and we met at the first tee of Greater Seattle. And for those that don't know or are new to the show, the First Tee is a wonderful organization. It teaches core values and life skills, and you know, we work with students on their dreams and goals, having a go-to team, someone to lean on. And you know, I've learned so much from the program, and I try to apply bits and pieces of the First Tee to my nonprofit and to my way of living. And it's made me a better person. My guest, she's done wonderful things, and she's come through the program, if I'm not mistaken. She's a recent graduate of the University of Washington, and I am so proud of her success. She is a trailblazer. And Jessica, thank you for taking some time to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Now let's go back a little bit within the First Tee. When did you start in the program?
I became involved in the program when I was in sixth grade, and I've been a part of the program since then.
And in the program, what are some of the values that you've learned and you've taken? And how has it helped you become the person that you are today?
So in the First Tee, there's 9 core values, and 2 of them that stand out to me is courage, confidence, and perseverance. And I think about those because it's really encouraged me to reach out of my comfort zone and to explore different opportunities and passions. And it's those experiences that really shaped me to who I am today.
Outstanding, outstanding. I love it. And, you know, we chatted a few weeks ago, and, you know, I really appreciate your support in what I do in the community and using golf as a platform to kind of help individuals who are less fortunate than I am. Talk a little bit about your direction in your life, and I know you want to know more about philanthropy and giving back to the community. Why is that so important, and when did that hit you?
It was when I began as an alumni of the First Tee. I had the opportunity to be an assistant coach and provide these young participants with the life skills and resources to reach their goals. And seeing these young people reach their goals is the most proudest moment as a coach. And those moments that made me want to reach out to other communities and to see how I can support and be a part of their journey too.
Outstanding, outstanding. And in reaching out and helping in the community, I know in our conversation, you know, as I was talking to you about autism and homelessness and underprivileged youth, why do you feel it's important to give back? You know, I know some people will say, you know, when they made it or when they're successful in one genre, they don't often look back. So what made you want to give back and help folks?
It was really the people at the First Tee. I came in as a participant who was extremely shy, and they provided the foundation to reach out and to be comfortable in that. And I feel very fortunate to have people in my life who are supportive of me and to have mentors to help me reach my goals. And so it's very important for me to pay it forward and provide them with the same advice. I think that it only takes a moment to positively impact another person's life. And it's only that together we can create a cycle of empowerment, of continuous improvement in our community.
Outstanding. I love it. I love it. And as I said before, you just recently graduated from the University of Washington. Now, throughout those years there, did your passion increase for this vision of wanting to give back and help the community?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think college is an opportunity to try different things. And so I came in to the University of Washington, and I thought I was going to do engineering. I came out as a marketing and entrepreneurship major and a minor in dance. And so it was the opportunity to try different classes in different departments and really connect with each of the different people there. It really broadened my horizons, and it made me want to learn more and to continuously learn.
I love it. And throughout that process, you also became a owner, founder of GolfScope. Can you talk a little bit about GolfScope?
Yes. So as an entrepreneurship major, there's a class called Creating a Company. And so we get 10 weeks to create a company, pitch it to investors, hope that they invest in us, and then we have 10 weeks to launch and make a profit and return the investment. We decided, my team, to continue with the project outside of the class. And so what we developed was GolfScope, which is a golf training aid for golfers.
I love it. You know, I saw a little bit of it on Instagram, I want to say yesterday, a little post with, I think Evan Johnson was in the photo, and I think he was using the training aid or working with someone who was using the training aid. What's that process like for you as a person? I mean, how does it make you feel when you reach an accomplishment like that?
I would say, I guess, proud, and because it's something that I'm so passionate about. I think golf should be a game that is enjoyed by everyone in all ages, no matter your skill level. And so by providing people with the resources to learn the game through GolfScope, it's just something that's really cool and I'm proud to be a part of.
Well, I am super happy for you. I think you're going to go far with this product. Now, as we transition back into community work, I know that you've been very active in trying to, you know, gain more experience and knowledge. Where have you looked, and what type of what are you looking for, I guess I should say, in working with individuals in the community? Is there a specific thing that you are wanting to do?
Well, I love sports because of the first T, but I also am really passionate about healthcare because of personal experiences. I've recently been immersing myself in the healthcare industry by shadowing physicians in physical therapy and pediatrics. And by shadowing these physicians and walking in the shoes of patients, it's really inspiring to be a part of their journey, and I want to continue to support that and hopefully maybe work in the healthcare community in a role in philanthropy or marketing so I can share their stories, these patient stories, with other people and hopefully inspire others.
Now, is there a specific story you can share with us today, or are there so many that you can't just pick just one?
I would say there's a lot of stories, but one of them that really stood out to me was when I was an inpatient for rehabilitation medicine at the University of Washington. I think the patients there are so optimistic and positively thinking no matter their condition, and it makes you really reflect on your own life and how fortunate you are to get up every day to be able to pursue your own goals. And it's because I feel fortunate to do that. I hope to support others and be a part of their journey so that they can overcome whatever unexpected diagnosis they were given.
I like that you said that because, you know, as I advocate and work with individuals in the community, one of the things that I tell people is sometimes you have to step out of your shoes and into theirs and gain an understanding of what they're going through or what they're dealing with. I think a lot of times we don't do enough of that. We pretend to know, but we really don't step out of our shoes to see what it's like to live a day in their life and to embrace that struggle. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would for sure agree with that. I think one piece of advice I would give people is to reach out of your comfort zone to follow your passion and involve yourself in different communities. I think it's okay to be nervous, and because I'm definitely nervous when I try something new and reach out. But I see that nervousness as it should be your greatest motivator because it means that, one, you really care, and it's something new that you're going to experience. And having something new is going to be your greatest learning experience to grow as a person.
Absolutely, that's well said. You know, in my beginning stages of being an advocate, I was really nervous. I didn't really know what to say or how to say it, and I was often quiet. But as I started to listen and gain more knowledge, you know, I said the only way I'm going to be effective and drive home my points of view or my goals or my dreams is to get out comfortable being uncomfortable, because once that happens, it opens the doors to so many other opportunities for you. It has definitely helped me, and I know it's going to help you. I know you said that you're a shy person, and I think we all have that trait to some degree, but you know, I commend you and applaud you for stepping out of that and into a different comfort zone, and you found yourself, and I think you found your passion for what you want to do, and it's very important because we need more outstanding individuals like you who are definitely having an impact on the world. I know for me, I gain a lot of knowledge from individuals like you and others who aren't afraid to embrace things that may look bleak or may look dire. It continues to drive and inspire me to do better and to take those chances as well. So I commend you on all your success and future success. I think you're going to be you know, one of the leaders in the world that we need. But before I let you go, what's the next step in this process for you? When do you hope to be maybe in a permanent position? I know I've offered you, you know, a chance to shadow me once we select our next family to work with, and that offer still stands, by the way. But what's next? Like, what are you up to at the current moment? Where are you looking?
Currently in the process to hopefully volunteer at Seattle Children's. I guess I want to spend some time with my family and to volunteer, but starting in August, that's when I hope to have a full-time position, hopefully at a youth organization or healthcare organization, or just really a place like Team Winfrey where their organization's mission is about fostering diversity and inclusion in our community.
Thank you for that shout out. You're going to be great. Always remember that. Golf Scope is incredible. I think highly of you. I know Tony does too. I think, unfortunately, there have been some technical difficulties on Tony's side, so she was unable to join us, because I know she had questions for you as well. But I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today. Where can the folks go to learn more about Golf Scope?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an Instagram, which is at Golf Scopes with an S at the end, or you can visit our website, which is golf-scope.com.
Outstanding. Is there anything else you would like to promote, or would you like to leave the listeners with something?
I would just say that my footprint on this earth, I want to leave knowing that I was able to make a difference in other people's lives, and my goal is to further encourage other people to do the same and to teach them on how to reach out and develop the skills to be open and respective of the values of others. And that's just how I would leave my time here.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much. And you are always welcome back on the show. I do hope to work with you inside the realms of Team Winfrey someday. That is a dream and goal of mine. I love interacting with great folks who have great minds. And I think together, you know, we can continue to make someone or something better. That's what I'm all about. Please feel free to always reach out to me, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for having me, and I would love to be a part of your organization.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The wonderful Jessica Kent, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, a funny story. And I know Jessica gets a laugh out of this every time I mention it, but there was a function at the first tee, I want to say last year, and I accidentally thought she was someone else, and she picked up on that, and she kind of made it a point to let me know, hey, you thought I was so-and-so, and we laughed about that, but Jessica is on her way to being a very successful individual, and giving back to the community is vital for her. She feels it in her soul, and she's passionate about that. And I encourage all of the young, up-and-coming, great individuals to reach out to advocates and causes that you're passionate about. We need you. You know, I know for me, a lot of my inspiration come from the youth. You know, they have great ideas. And sometimes I get stuck in a rut, and I don't always know where I want to go or how I should move on a certain situation. But I think in interacting with Jessica, and, you know, I can name a whole slew of individuals that I've met, and they've driven me to only be better. We can definitely make this world a better place. So I am glad that she took the time to be on the show today, and I hope to have her back very soon. Okay, now let's transition to questions of the week. For the last couple of weeks now, Tony and I were unable to get to questions of the week. And, you know, I made apologies for that. But this week, we have time to get to a few. So let's start with Ronnie in Pensacola, Florida. Ronnie wants to know, Eli, how has the military impacted you on your movement to help others? Thank you for your service. Thank you for the email, Ronnie. The military taught me a lot about leadership and being accountable and learning to be comfortable being uncomfortable. It's had a huge impact on me being able to break away from the shyness that Jessica and I talked about. And because of that, you know, I've been able to be pretty successful in reaching and interacting with families. You know, there was a time where I didn't want to do that so much. I didn't know how to do that. So sometimes I would just systematically shut down. You know, I didn't want to talk or explain. And you don't get very far by being that way. So the military has been very important. I miss it dearly. I hope that answers your question. It's definitely taught me about organization and why that's important. So thanks for the question, Ronnie. Let's move to Angela in New York. Angela wants to know, do you ever see a day when we find a way to come together for the sake of all these beautiful kids and not pick and choose who we help based on money or social status? That's a good question, loaded question. Do I ever see a day? I do see a day. When? I'm not quite sure. You know, I think first and foremost, all of us as individuals have to look in the mirror and be honest with ourselves. I don't think we do that enough. We have to have that conversation on where we are in our lives before we can get out and try to help people. I have those conversations daily with myself, so much so that I think, you know, I'm sure my wife kind of maybe pops in and out of the room sometimes and wonder, who's he talking to, you know? But I do see a day. I hope it's really soon for the sake of not just this country but the world. We are in a climate now where we are very politically correct. It feels like, you know, we're always walking on eggshells. We're having to choose sides right away. We're not really thinking about the process or the journey anymore. We become so results based, and when I say results, I mean right now. You know, we want things done or said right now, and we have to find a way to break that cycle and start communicating on a different level. It takes individuals coming to the table and wanting to sit down. And instead of being offended when somebody tells you their side or their views on things, sit there, listen, and try to understand or try to find center, and then, you know, explain your opinion. And I think if we start doing more of that, you know, we will be able to come together. A lot of things in the world, it is based off of social status and money, and that's unfortunate. Hopefully in the future we can rectify that. I know for me, it's on my list of things to do. So, great question. You know, I would say stay tuned. You never know, but I'm hoping sooner rather than later, because these kids out here that are coming up, they really need the support, from us. So, I'm calling on all these advocates and other, folks in the community to kind of stand up and let's get it done. Great question. Let's take one more from Monica in Portland. Monica wants to know, with all the success you both have had, Has any of it changed you in any way? Do you find yourself with a bigger ego or a know-it-all? I'm curious because I see that sometimes with people who become really good at what they do, they seem to disconnect and become robotic in their way of thinking. Good question. Let me answer that last part. I am not robotic in any way. I have seen that in people who become successful. Has it changed me in any way? It's made me a better person. It's made me more aware of things around me that I may not have known before. It's definitely made me more aware of where my friends stand on things when I maybe take a different approach to a situation. It hasn't changed the way that I would always want to treat people. I try to be very positive, and you know, there are days where there are challenges for sure, where I feel like I don't always want to be so nice, right? But the easiest thing to do is to fall into that trap and start doing things out of character, right? So I want to say it hasn't changed me. I tell people all the time on my social media platforms, what you see is me. You know, I don't try to pretend to be someone that I'm not, or I'm trying to live a different lifestyle. That's not how I want to be portrayed. So it hasn't changed me. And as far as my ego, you know, I think we all have egos to a degree because we all want to be successful. You know, I know in the military, you know, we were often told, you know, you want to have an ego. You want to be kind of selfish and confident and a little cocky and a little arrogant. But you have to find those mediums within that. And, you know, I think I'm there. So I think Tony would agree with much of that. So, I've seen a lot of people who become successful and right away there's a change in their attitude or their approach to something that they feel is beneath them now. And they would never dare, you know, go back. And I think that that's a mistake. You know, I think you never want to forget where you started and who you were as you grew. So, Monica, that's a great question. And I think these are the questions that we all need to ask ourselves going forward, because I think we don't do that enough. But we're quick to tell somebody else how to live their life. Based on their expectations of that person, right? So I hope that helps. That's all the questions this week, folks. I'll go through them again, and hopefully we'll get more good questions next week. The show has been great today. I want to thank Jessica Kent once again for coming on and sharing her story and her success. And I know she's going to do really well. So, and don't be surprised if she's a part of Team Winfrey at some point. You know, I would love to make that happen, you know, but I want her to get out there and chase her dreams and goals. And if she does that and she stays patient, she's going to be a leader for years to come. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to the show today. It is really a treat to have the support of so many people. We are listened to in around the world, and Tony and I are forever grateful for that. Get out in your communities and help someone, make someone or something better. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes people just want you to be there to listen. Get out there and do that. Make someone smile. It's really easy to do. And until next week, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.